Number two.
That one's yours, yeah.
The greatest gift you can give is the gift of receiving. I'm going to repeat that. The greatest gift you can give is the gift of receiving. And what happens a lot of times, so does that make sense to anybody? I want to hear one person, what did you get out of what I just said? Because that's a big concept.
Sounds to me like it's listening.
Well, it is listening, but it's more than that. Kristen was a teacher at school, and part of the reason that she taught, and I'm speaking for you here, honey, but...
That's fine. Go ahead.
Because she loved to contribute. Now, a lot of times, students resist receiving what she had to give.
Hmm.
And so when we sat down one night and talked about what was the greatest moments of her teaching, it was all about all the places where the students had let in what she had to contribute and had let her know in some way that they had gotten something out of it. And so when your partner gives you something, does the dishes, makes dinner, does, you know, a foot rub, whatever it is, what is it your partner does that makes your life more wonderful, how can you let them know that you've really received that? So they get to receive your receiving. Now, what stops us from doing that is because most of us were brought up in a trade economy. And in a trade economy, if I have a few dollars, what do I want to do when I'm going out to buy something? I negotiate. I try to get the most out of those dollars by devaluing what I'm buying. So if I'm in an exchange with somebody and Kristen's done the dishes and cleaned the house, I go, yeah, well, it's great that you did that, but I did a lot more. I did this and I did the website. Now, all of a sudden, we get in this battle of devaluing each other's contributions because we're afraid that we're going to owe them. Versus, wow, honey, when I came home and, you know, either... because she works on the websites, too. I don't want to get into roles. When I came home and the website was modified and you sent out all those stuff, I felt so supported. I felt so loved. It was incredible. And to let her know how she had contributed to me and what needs of mine were met. And sometimes when we get in an upset or we get stuck in a rut and we're not feeling good about each other, we just sit down and go through a list of things. Here's the different things. Here's the different ways that you've contributed to me and how it has an impact on me. You'd be amazed how that simple little exercise will really rock your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, and think about this in your own life, here's a warning signal that you know your relationship is getting in a dangerous spot, is when your partner will not let you contribute to them. Mm. Can I get you some tea? No, thanks. You hungry? No. You want to do something? No. It's like that's a major warning signal. If they're not going to let you contribute to them, they're trying to let you know something's really out of place. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are some things that your partner has done for you that you might not have let them know that it touched you and it had an impact on you? And I'll just start with one example. I may have even said it on an earlier call, but I work late at night sometimes till 2 or 3 in the morning. It's like somehow that's a quiet time for me. There's no phones, no nothing, and I can totally focus. And when I come to bed, Kristen hugs me, even though she does it like in her sleep, and I feel so loved when that happens. And she didn't know that she was doing it, and she didn't know how it had touched me until one day I had told her that. I said, wow, you know, that really touches me when you do that. And so that was letting her know that she was giving to me.
Paul, this is Beth.
Yep.
For some of us not in an intimate relationship, it's what I'm trying to do is maybe it's been a while because, you know, my divorce and so forth. I'm trying to, like, get what you say and create it for my life.
Well,
but
let me
it's
give
hard
you
to filter it through a relationship, so I'm trying to refilter it through another type of relationship.
Let me give you an example with your son.
Yeah.
How does your son give to you? How does your son contribute to your life?
Oh, gosh. Always saying, I love you and thank you and helping do things and in so many ways.
So you can receive that and let him know that he's giving to you by those actions.
Okay.
A lot of times we disempower our children by not letting them give to us. No, no, I'm the adult, I'm the one who gives, versus letting the child give to us and feeling what it, wow.
And acknowledging that.
Yeah, their contribution to our well-being.
Got it. Okay, that's much more clear.
So yeah, it doesn't.
I think Paul was talking the other day about somewhere he went, and a teacher was talking about how for all those years, little kids have been answering questions in her classes, and she had never thought to say thank you and let the kids know that she appreciated their participation and everything.
Yeah, and
how much that would mean to them.
It's powerful because I do have dialogue of what that meant to me for him to do something. And I'm seeing the exchange both sides. It's more so, yeah, so perfect. Yeah, I can see the power in doing that. It's just flowing naturally that's done, but now I can see, wow, oh, gosh, we are doing that. And, well, no wonder he's so much. I see him in his world at 10 giving so much appreciation and gratitude for things going on around him that number one comment I get from people that know him that I might not be there is, my God, your son is so compassionate and so nice.
Oh, okay. Really?
All the time.
Oh, boy, I can speak from experience. This is Canela. He is just amazing. And you do that. You receive and share with him that acknowledgement. He's being trained well. Okay, we probably should move on, huh?
Yeah.
So what you can do, because Christmas is coming up soon, you can get out and Beth, you'll have to do it a little differently, but you can do it with your son. But get a list together and have him create a list of 25 things that make your partner or you feel loved. Is it something your partner, a certain way they can touch you? This doesn't have to be money. They can touch you, they can do something for you, or they can buy something for you, or they can take you for a walk. What are the things so that you can show them how to give to you in a way that you love to be given to?
Could we clarify that, Paul?
Well, can I say something?
Go ahead.
It comes down, there's a book out on love strategies. And people receive love and give love in different ways, depending on their personality. So maybe Paul's way of showing me he loves me is to take out the trash. But if that doesn't mean anything to me, then I'm missing it out on something there.
I'm missing out on a chance to give to her.
Yeah. So if we make a list for our partner, the 25 things that, now, sweetie, we're doing this like I would make my list about me for you, right?
Right.
Okay, so I would make my list things that show me love, that I see as love, taking the sponge out of the bottom of the sink. Now, we figured out one for Paul. He just loves to be kissed on the back of his neck.
And hugged.
And hugged. Yeah. Too funny. That for him is love. And so every individual has different things like that, and to make a list.
So when she gives me her list, she gives me 25 opportunities to give to her, and I love giving to her. And I might as well give something that she's really going to enjoy rather than something that I'm having a guess that she will enjoy. Does that make it any clearer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. I'd like to clarify just one area, and that is when you make that list, I need feedback from you two. And we're adults here. We can speak honestly. I'm assuming that list of 25 things is non-sexual.
Well, it doesn't have to be non-sexual.
A guy will list 25 things related to sex, and that's not related to either one of them. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, it is funny,
it's true.
Well, there's three things that men really enjoy. food, sex, and appreciation. I go for like an even break of those. So is everybody clear, though? The greatest gift you can give is the gift of what?
Receiving.
Thank you. So, Chris, you want to do number three. And by the way, if you as you get ahas on this, as you're listening, keep your notes for your aha list, because we're going to ask you at the end of the call to take action on the ahas that you learned, the insights, the things you go, oh, wow, I can apply it here, I can do it there, that's a great insight. So, Kristen,
okay, number three is empathy before education or advice. And that's the idea that, well, as we talked about before with giving empathy, the way to give empathy is through the four steps of the language of peace. So you state an observation, say how you're feeling, connect that with the need, and make a request. Or you're asking the other person how they're feeling and what need that's connected with, and if they would like something from you. So if you can go through this process and really empty the other person's cup, then you might be able to influence them in some way. But you certainly wouldn't want to try to influence somebody without emptying their cup and giving them the empathy that they need in that situation. Because if they're in pain and they're feeling a lot of pain around something, they're not going to be able to hear your advice or your education about it. And it's not until they've had that empathy that they'll be able to let anything in. And that empathy might have to be quite a large dose of empathy depending on the size of the pain. So if you've got somebody in deep pain, you may not be able to sit there with them for just 3 minutes for one round of empathy and have them open up to where they can hear what you're saying. It might take weeks of working with them before they can get to where they can really hear what you want, what you're trying to say. Now, that would be some pretty deep pain to take that long. But I think people need to be realize that it's not going to be just instant, automatic, now I'm open to everything you say to me once you give somebody empathy.
You might actually ask them, do you want some advice? You want me to just listen? And if you think about it, if you walked into a doctor's office and they handed you a prescription before you even opened your mouth, how would you feel about the doctor? You go, what the hell are they doing? They don't even know what the problem is. They don't understand me. Why are they writing out the prescription? So before you offer advice, always go for the empathy and then ask, is it okay? Do you want some ideas or you just want me to listen?
And the hard part is being with somebody when they're in pain like that and just letting them be in pain and not trying to fix them and not trying to change that, but just the way that Marshall Rosenberg puts it is enjoying their pain. Enjoy being with them even while they're in pain.
Huh.
Did somebody have a question?
I this is Beth. I wondered if we're cleaning up relationship failures from the past and challenges, I guess I just started thinking some people might have a lot of empathy that they have that we would just have to kind of, is this where would apply it if we're trying to clean up a breakdown that we've had with a relationship?
Totally.
Yeah.
And the thing, though, to be careful of is not to force yourself to give empathy when your cup is full, when you don't feel like giving empathy. Empathy, you give empathy out of a selfish thing, because it feels good to connect to somebody like that, not because they're telling you that you have to or you must or you should give me empathy. That ends up moving into the demand, and we're going to resist anything that feels like a demand. So be compassionate and careful and not think that this is something you should or have to do, but it's something that might improve the relationship, and can you enjoy doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You might need to give yourself or get a lot of empathy in the process, especially if you're dealing with someone who's in a lot of pain. It may take a while before they can hear you, and you may need to have another source of empathy.
Yeah, to unfill our cup.
Exactly.
So to speak.
And to go back without seeing them as the enemy, or yourself as the enemy, because either one doesn't work. Whatever you did the best job you could trying to meet a beautiful, precious need. So did they.
Yeah.
And at the time, maybe you didn't have the tools you needed.
Well, because so many times we just disconnect. We don't connect. Then we don't communicate, and then the perceived upset just gets worse.
Right.
We don't allow if we just stay out of communication.
Well, the one thing to be careful. This is a quick advanced class here. Any conflict is when there's two or more perceived needs that it's hard to see how to get both the needs met. So when we disconnect communicating with somebody else, we're trying to meet another beautiful, precious need called protection, safety, contributing to ourselves. So sometimes we pull away because we don't have a good strategy to meet their needs for connection and our own needs for protection and safety.
Hmm.
And so what the evolution is the better the tool, the more likely we'll be able to get multiple needs met at the same time. The clearer you are what need it is that you're trying to get met in the communication, the more likely it is to happen. Right now I'm needing safety and protection, and here's some of the ways that I think I can get it and stay connected in my communication with you. But when you raise your voice or threaten me or things like that, all of a sudden I need to pick a different strategy for my safety and protection.
Interesting.
So that was number three.
Yeah.
Always give empathy before education, advice, or fixing. And the more emotional they are when they're expressing their pain, the more empathy they're going to need. And you might ask,